Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Palm Sunday, in fact, all of Holy Week really, is a time for us to consider Jesus' humility. And so that's precisely what we do today from Philippians chapter 2. The text reads, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant." Jesus is God. Now, when you imagine God, I'm certain you have a picture, right? God is big, he is glorious, he is immortal, he is almighty, you know. He has all of these things that we ascribe to him, right? He is deserving of glory. Whatever we might attribute to God, the same of Jesus is true, literally. Now, as sinful creatures, we've always desired to be God. Now, as Adam and Eve sin in the garden, it is still our sin even today. In fact, every time we break one of the Ten Commandments, we're essentially telling God, you're not doing a good job, and I know better than you. I would be a better God than you would be. And so as we look at Jesus, it's very hard for us to understand. Understand what he's actually doing. Because literally, Jesus has everything we've ever wanted in life. Power, glory, immortality, he's got it all. Everything we ascribe to God, it belongs to Jesus. It is his right. Sounds like a pretty good job, doesn't it? But what does Jesus do with it? What does he do with his godness? He takes it and he puts it aside. Because he considers that your salvation is more important to him than being all-powerful God. Now, granted, it's not like he ever actually ceases to be God. He's always God. But this power that belongs to him, he puts it aside for a while. This is what we call Jesus humiliation. Humiliation, you know, if ever you've been humiliated, how big do you feel? Small, right? If you're real small. And so Jesus, who is God, he makes himself small. And in fact, we confess it in the Creed. It sounds something like this. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Jesus' humiliation is that he has all of this fullness of God, all of this power, all of this glory as his right, as his possession. But instead of actually using it, he emptied himself. He empties himself to be born as a helpless baby. And so let's try this on for size. God has to learn from simple human beings. God himself has to learn from humans how to speak. God has to learn from humans how to walk. God has to learn from human beings how to know the scriptures. God wrote the scriptures, and yet he has to be taught the scriptures? Something's seriously not lining up here, right? God had to learn because he empties himself. And as we go on, you know, so we know, okay, all right, you know, this all-powerful God, you know, he chooses to be helpless. This all-powerful God who deserves all glory, that is, you know, honor and a place of esteem in our lives. But what happens to him? He's beaten. He's mocked. He's bloodied. He's bruised. He's betrayed. He's whipped. He has no glory. Literally, he gives up all of his glory. It's all gone. And instead, he's treated as a despicable criminal because he emptied himself. And then finally, as we all know the story, and as we just heard in our gospel reading, he emptied himself to breathe his last, to die. We all know that God is immortal. He lives forever. And yet Jesus emptied himself to die. God died on the cross. Now, as we put this into our own mind, you know, we think, you know, he had a cushy job. He had all of his ducks in a row. He had it all put together. Everything was all laid out for him to be whoever he wanted to be. Why would he do this? For you. That's why he does this. That's why he emptied himself. It is because your salvation is more important to him than any of that. Certainly, he has power. Certainly he had glory. Certainly he had immortality. But the one thing he didn't have was you. You know, as often as we might try to conquer our sins, it doesn't work. You know, if you're anything like me, you go out and you leave the church and you keep committing the same sins over and over and over again. You know, as hard as you might struggle, as hard as you might try not to do that, our sin, our original sin that lives within us, it is too great for us to overcome on our own. And so, you know, when we have that burden of the law, God says, I am holy and you need to be holy. We can't lift the burden on our own. It doesn't work. Which means that God would utterly have to condemn us. He would have to kill us. He would have to send us all to hell. And he didn't want that. And so Jesus comes. He is born under the law and he empties himself. That way he might lift the law off of your shoulders. That way he might live a perfect life and fulfill the law for you. So that you can have forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is also life and salvation. My friends, Jesus empties himself. He is utterly humiliated for you. You are forgiven. But that's not the end of the story either. And in fact, the only reason we know so much about Jesus' humiliation is because the story isn't over. Jesus doesn't remain in a state of humiliation. He doesn't remain as a small, you know, human being who contains the power of God. But instead, he is also what we call exalted, right? If being humiliated is brought low, being exalted means to be lifted up. And so we have this in the second half of our reading. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus lives, Jesus suffers, Jesus dies, and in that death, his humiliation is accomplished. But then we have the second rite. He descends into hell, resurrected from the dead, ascends into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And so it goes that 3 days later, Jesus is exalted. God lifts him up and rewards him for his humbleness. You have been a servant of all. Guess what? You're going to be placed in the highest place of heaven that anyone could ever experience, the very right hand of God himself. The glory he gave up to come down here and be helpless, he gets it all back. The power that he set aside to come and serve you, he still uses it now. He sends the Holy Spirit. He can be with you in the supper. He can be with you in the Word. He can be with you in baptism. Well, how can he do that? Because he is the all-powerful God. And if he says, I am in this supper, I am in with and under the bread and wine, my very body, my very blood, guess what? Jesus can use his power to do it. Because without Jesus' power, without him being lifted up, there's nothing. He doesn't have the power to promise that. He doesn't have the power to give that. But he does. And he promises that your sins are forgiven as you partake of this meal. The same thing in baptism. I can throw water at any one of you. I bring my super soaker. It's not going to do any good. But to come to the baptismal font and combine plain water with God's word, God uses his power that belongs to him to welcome you into his family, to promise you that your sins are gone forever. Because Jesus does have power now. Immortality? He's got that too. Ascending into heaven, never to die again. Jesus, he humiliates himself, but then he gets lifted back up. It's all spelled out for us today right here in the scriptures. And in fact, he even receives all glory. We sang it today, right? Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the glory that God deserves for all of these wonderful things he does for us. The glory belongs to him. We should give him glory. We should sing his praises. We should come and bow at his altar and pray to him and recognize that he is this God who loves us so much. This is what Holy Week's all about. It's what Palm Sunday is all about. God serves you in both humility and in exaltation. In life and death and in life again, Jesus does it all for you. But there's one more part. And now you might have remembered at the very beginning of the reading, the Holy Spirit also gave us these words. Have this mind among yourselves. And then he goes on to tell us about this humiliation and exaltation thing. But what it means for you is that you should have the same sort of humility that Jesus had. Because in so doing, you will be highly exalted. What I mean is that we come to church and we tell God that we're sorry for our sins. You guys ever had to apologize, like go to somebody and have that conversation where you go, man, I really screwed up. Doesn't make you feel very big, does it? Makes you feel real small. We call that humility. And so every Sunday we come before God in humility, asking that He wouldn't look at our sins and condemn us because of them, but that He might forgive them. And immediately after we confess our sins, what does God do? In the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. And God lifts you up higher than you could have ever been on your own. He lifts us higher than we could ever imagine. And we have the privilege to do this, to reflect this humility of Christ. What else did Christ come to do? He was humble in service. If we want to summarize the Ten Commandments, it's love for God and love for our neighbor. We get the great privilege of reflecting that humility of Jesus out to everybody else in this world. To serve our neighbor. Not to serve ourselves, but to do for others what we would want them to do for us. And sometimes it means that, you know, we're going to have to lose something. And sometimes it means that we're going to have to take insults. And sometimes it might mean we're going to be embarrassed. And for some, in the early church, and even in other places of our world today, it means they had to lose their life. It seems like a lot. But just as it was for Jesus, it will be for you too. You can never really lose in being humble, because you have far more to gain. Any loss you suffer now, it's only for a time, because the rewards and the joys of heaven, they're going to be forever. It's not just for, you know, a few years or a few moments here on this earth, but the joys that God's going to give you, the exaltation, the lifting up that God is going to do for you, it's going to be for all time. Literally, we can't even count how many years you're going to exist in that reality. God is going to repay you for all of your loss. In fact, as our Old Testament text said, He's going to give you double. For all the times you've been humble and self-sacrificing here, He's going to give you double in eternal life. The lesson for today, be humble and God will exalt you. This is the response of a Christian heart to the truth of the gospel. My friends, Jesus did it first. He lived, He suffered, He died, and He lived again for you. He was humiliated and He was exalted for you. And now it's time for all of us to follow suit. To humble ourselves, to receive the forgiveness of sins, not only in the Word, but also today in the Supper. And in so doing, Jesus will lift us higher than we could ever possibly imagine. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds, your humiliation and exaltation, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.